Hey everybody, I didn't see you there. You coming back for another episode? It's me, your buddy, Zero. I'm the guy who's always here. I always am this. Anywho, hi. Welcome to the A to Z podcast. My name is Zero Remsen, and underneath me to the right is my man Aaron Chase. If you're new to the podcast, hi. To explain what we do here, I don't know how you got to this episode first if you're new, but pretty much we have a yin yang thing between me and Aaron, where he represents the yin, the realism, the actual, the having experienced life a lot of things, where I experience the yang, the very happy-go-lucky, naive, optimistic way of looking at life. And somewhere in between us, our mentalities are similar and yet different, and there's entertainment in between there. So we just talk about whatever we want to talk about. And today's episode, I want to talk about, you did mention this, but I'm actually going to go a different route with it. There was talk in the last episode very slightly, because there was a surprise guest appearance by his family, not on the podcast, but they were in the background of the podcast, and he was like, remember to talk about family. But I see, I can, that clearly, if you watch that episode, you know there's like clearly a darkness there. Like, if we were starting to talk about family, it's definitely going to go a certain direction. So it's not that I don't want to get to that episode, but I feel like we've had a lot of, from the beginning of this podcast to now, there's been a lot of like dark episodes. We like, because to be fair, the timing of when we decided to do the podcast was during COVID-19, like as it started. And then the Black Lives Matter movement picked up in a furious force again. And then we went back into COVID-19. The stuff is still happening. It's like we're all in this up and down. So obviously serious stuff is going to come out. Aaron was figuring himself out, both in his life and figuring out that like keep people at a certain amount of distance. And so today's episode, we're gonna lean into some more silly skid. That's my goal. If it doesn't happen in that way, that's fine. We're just talking right off the bat. We're off to a great start. Aaron's getting shirtless, and that's what the girls pay to see on this channel. That's
It's
what.
just so hot. Like,
Oh
it's
yeah,
so
no,
hot.
I know. I'm very aware. My car does not have AC, and I have one of those blocking lights thing, like to keep the sun out, and it's still like it's some crazy ridiculous, like it's insane. And I had a fan blowing on me, but I think I'll be able to survive for now. I might turn it on halfway through. Neither here nor there. Let's talk. Let's do some. Here's a quirky idea I thought of. Here's a quirky little podcast idea. We're gonna get really lame for a second, but it's gonna get good after the lameness. So if you just follow me around the room, I promise this is gonna get good. What we're gonna do is we're gonna do newlywed questions, and I'm interested because, like, again, we're learning. What's one of your crazy stories about dating a girl and how you interacted with a family, the family dating question? You can answer that while I look up these questions, because that's a pretty heavy one, I feel like. So.
Interacting with a girl's family, there was this one time where I was basically, oh Jesus. All right, so I was in college and I tried to get this job at this little coffee shop. It was in like Escondido. I went to Cal State San Marcos, and it was like downtown Escondido. And the dad didn't know anything about running a coffee shop. I don't he was He remind he's kind of like the Sultan in Aladdin.
Okay. Where he's running,
And
but he's kind of like goofy and barely.
yeah, very, very nice man. Don't need whiteboards or notebooks to play that game. Wait, what happened?
Yeah, the newlywed game actually, it actually means we would have to know each other. I looked at the questions and I forgot it's like a what is their favorite this? And so instead I went to getting to know you questions. But so Salton owns a coffee shop. You met him.
Yeah, and he had a daughter, and so he just didn't know how to run a business. So what ended up happening was I was working there, and I was sleeping with his daughter, and
Nice.
that was, I guess, and that was essentially my payment without him realizing it. That was like,
I get paid and sex with your daughter.
yeah. So
That
I
doesn't
think
pay
that was.
my bills. That
I was in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was probably a pretty weird one, I'd say.
The weirdest one I had, because my situation with the one girl I dated was kind of, it was weird, but I made it that because I was in my college days and I was like, I'm not getting locked down right now. It's fun time. And so, like, even though I was spending all my time with her and energy on her, that, like, I still like that freedom or whatever, you know, classic young dude stuff. And so I'm out there doing that. And she had a rule that was like, well, if you're going to be that and not claim me as your girl or whatever, then you don't get to meet my family. So you don't interact with that. But I was constantly around. So there were moments that, like, I was trying to avoid meeting her family, but they kept finding me. Like I went to LOL, the Sultan daughter sounds like a romantic drama, LOL. Not untrue. But so yeah. The worst one was they had already met me at this point, but I was trying to, again, avoid, like, being seen. And so she texted me and was like, okay, we're on our way back. I'm about to get dropped off now. And I thought that meant she's already getting dropped off. It would take 10 minutes for me to get over there. So by the time I get there, she would already be done. So I pull up to her thing and I'm like, okay, you can come down. And as soon as I pull up, they also pull up, like they were just getting there. And then she was like, dude's like, oh, and they recognize me. And so her dad comes out and comes to shake my hand. And I'm so, like, nervous that I get out of the car before I took it out of drive. So I starts going forward as I'm, like, shaking his hand. And I'm like, oh, hello. And then, like, I had to stop it. And Bray was like, hey, yeah, you know, I was like, and he's like, yeah, I mean, you're a good kid. All right. And then they, like, leave her with me and she gets in the car. I was like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I wasn't trying. I was trying to avoid it. And I was like, what happened? So I almost car crashed because of that. But
yours is far more wholesome than mine.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that our life stories as a whole?
Yeah. Yours is like a scene in a Disney Channel original movie. And mine is like a taxi cab confession.
All right. Getting to know you. Question number one. I actually do know this answer, I think, for you, because I think it's partially because I listen to ACMM and also because you talk about him nonstop. The first question is, who's your hero? And I think it's pretty obvious because of the hashtag, but I believe is Dave Chappelle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's yours. You could probably guess mine too.
Childish Gambino.
If you could live anywhere, where would it be?
That's hard right now. So under what context?
Under the context that all your dreams have come true. You have all your finances are handled. You can live anywhere, anytime. You have the freedom to, like, if wherever you live, like, there's down the street a place you can do comedy that, like Dave, you could just walk in and they'll give you all the stage time, like, wherever it is.
That's hard to answer because I haven't been many places, but if I were to
imagine,
probably somewhere a little less fucking hot. So maybe Colorado. I hear Colorado is nice. I've come to a place where I'm like, I don't want people around me. I'm done with people.
Okay. Well,
unless I want to be.
Yeah, I think you would like the Midwest then, because it is a good number of people, but you could pick a place that's like desolate, like small towns that like have barely anybody in it. Like,
well, I don't know. I think I need to experience more of the world to know.
Yeah. So have you never been out of California?
I've been to Ireland, been to Maryland, been to Virginia, New Mexico. I was going to go to Idaho, been to Philadelphia, been to D.C.
You haven't been to many places, and then you named like 10.
All right.
what do you mean? Do you mean like just outside of America? Like other?
I've only been to one place outside of America, and that's like 9 out of 50 states, so I don't know what.
Got it. I guess. I don't know. I feel like every place is different and specific. Like, I don't want to make anybody feel not special. But at the same time, I feel like East, West, Mid, South, those are like the three sections, and each one has their little idiosyncrasies. But for the most part,
let's get this out of the way. Let's get that out of the way. Fuck the South. Not doing the South.
Yeah, I wonder why. Why would Aaron not like the? Not even. Well, what about What about Georgia? Like Atlanta, Georgia.
Why?
Because it's like black Mecca.
I could give a shit. It is okay. No. It's never, it's hot. It's humid. It's humid. All soul food, and I don't like eating stuff. I have no reason.
You don't like eating stuff?
No, you didn't know I had like an eating disorder?
No.
Oh yeah, I have like an eating disorder. He said, "Don't talk about the South."
Yeah, it's. I think she's from the South. I think. I don't know. She definitely probably got family. Because she's I met her back in college in Missouri, and so I would imagine.
Sandra?
No, it's Shelby.
Shelby?
No, she's so delayed. Like, I said, you don't like eating stuff. She said you don't like eating stuff. So it's going to be a second before she gets through it.
She's from Texas. Shelby, just let me be clear. This is not about you personally. What's the strip club in the Atlanta's famous for? Wings. They're wings. Shelby, there's nothing personal about you or your family in the South. I just, the history of the South, the humidity of the South, the food of the South, like literally everything there, I'm like, this isn't for me.
So what's your eating disorder thing?
So growing up, all the bullshit, and my only grasp for control, this is my interpretation of it. My only grasp for control was food. For whatever reason, that was what I got a little more leeway with.
Okay.
And so what ended up happening was I just didn't want to eat a lot. I just had no desire to eat. I was already thin. My mom would say that I was anorexic. So she kept yelling at me about how I was anorexic. So when she would give me food, I wouldn't eat a lot of different types of food, but the types of food I would eat would be like rice. So I would get this huge thing of rice that I would have to eat quickly because otherwise I couldn't take it all. I couldn't eat it all. And I'd be anorexic if I didn't. And so it fucked up my – God damn it. It fucked up my ability to eat things that are, like, warm. If things are hot, like pizza, for instance. If we were to get pizza, I have to eat the pizza immediately. It's going to be scalding hot, and I'm going to eat it very, very quickly. You're going to say, wow, Aaron, that's really fast. Isn't it hot? Doesn't it burn your hands? Doesn't it burn your mouth?
And you're going to say, oh, Aaron, isn't it hot? Doesn't it hurt you? I'm going to be like, yes, I need this pain because my childhood.
Yeah. So when it comes to food that's supposed to be, fuck off. God, hold on a second.
It's another battle with another thing in his garage. Every episode, Aaron is fighting. I promise you, if this podcast picks up eventually the way it's meant to, there's going to be a compilation of Aaron versus things in the garage, and they will use this clip, and it's just gonna be you battling bugs.
You know what's annoying is like when bugs, they just circle. It's like there's so much space for you to go.
You could be literally anywhere, but you want to be around.
So anytime I eat things that are hot or meant to be hot, I have to eat them quickly. I don't eat things in general. I don't have an eclectic palate. I don't like eating food. I get very little joy out of it. It's a big reason why I smoke, because it helps me eat. And
so sad. Food is such a genuine, like, it's so genuine that you saying that sentence was like, aw, because like it's such a genuine, it's like one of those tiny slice of life happinesses that's like food is so good. It's so
Do you want to hear something positive I have to say about white people when it comes to food?
Okay. This will be interesting. Yeah. Just before you say, white people and food don't generally have a positive connotation.
Oh, I know. You're going to like this.
Okay.
This is purely from my perspective and nobody else's.
Okay.
So when you go over to people, like being someone like you, going over to a Mexican dude's house or Asian, black, whatever, it's a blast because everything's about food. The culture and the food's connected.
Yeah.
White people are aware that their food is shitty and they don't force you to eat it because of that. So When I would go to black family houses or Asian family houses or Mexican family houses, their culture, their heart is so connected to their food that they don't get that. Like, I'm not, this is nothing personal. And my entire life,
it feels disrespectful for you not to eat in those houses.
And my whole life.
It's also interesting, not to be this guy, but like, it's also interesting, like, when we say, or like when everyone says white, that there are these separate demographics of white within there. And like, in this case, when we're talking about that, Italians are also like that. Like, Italians are also very, like, their culture is food. And it's like very, like, eat. From what I've seen, I don't know that many Italians. This is all from Goodfellas.
So I would, that's why he don't like the South. He's afraid he's going to have to eat. No, I'm afraid that they're going to hang me while they try to make me eat food. but
white women cook. White men can cook meat.
But I'm a vegetarian.
You're a vegetarian?
Yeah.
Oh, people, we couldn't be more different.
Because of cooking. Because, if you come to my house, I'm offering you food. Yeah, I'm not coming to your house. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's his whole point, Shelby. His whole point is he doesn't like that people pretty much force food on him. That it's like a thing. And if he doesn't take it, they take it personally.
Yeah. So my whole life, this is the exact routine of my whole life.
Okay.
As a kid, I go to someone's house. Uh-huh. Doesn't matter what race, doesn't matter what culture, doesn't matter what creed, unless they were boring-ass white people. The people trying to make you eat food won't be the same people that want to hang you in the South. I don't know, whatever. So
he doesn't. There's no getting through. We got to move past it, Shelby. We got a whole lot of other baggage to deal with. We can't stop on the South thing. We'll go back in another episode.
Go ahead. So I would go to their houses. Then dinner would come, and I would, before dinner, I would say, you know, I'm kind of a weird eater, I'm a vegetarian. This is the vegetarian in the 90s, when you were just considered a faggot at that point. So I'm like, you know, I would warn people, I would say, you know, it's nothing personal. And then this same thing I would hear. You haven't had my mom's cooking. Once you have my mom's cooking, no. I know you think you're a vegetarian, but when you have some steak that my mom makes, and I would say, this is nothing personal about your mom or your family. Like, trust me. And then I would eat their food and I would gag and vomit.
And then they'd be like, hey, that's my mom's steak.
Yeah.
You're mean. Why did you throw up my mom's steak?
Every time.
Yeah.
And so it got to this place where then I started despising food because it was like, you're all forced. Like, if you leave me that's what I mean about I'm done with people. Mm. Every problem in my life that I think, when I think about like all the issues, is a lot of it is because people were meddling their bullshit into my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't want to make this sad. Sorry.
No, it's fine. That's completely fine. Listen, just because I'm the positive guy, I lean towards the optimism, doesn't mean I want to stop you from speaking your truth. I'm very interested in that stuff. I just noticed the back-to-back pattern. People tune in and watch for the reason. If they're still to this episode, they watched it because they like watching and listening to that.
Like, I don't know why. Huh. They want to know all the origins of all these fucking problems.
See, that's one. It's also just fascinating in the like hearing. Like, again, all your stuff is like, you can't say that's not a specific thing. Like, yes, everybody's special, but everybody's also a lot the same. But you can't say that there's a lot of vegetarians who are vegetarian, but also just kind of hate food. Like, is this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts too? Because I'll start watching, but then something comes up and can't finish. Just wondering. Also, sorry for interrupting. You're fine. For everybody who's gotten this far and is here, if you want to watch any of these episodes, and I should probably say this at the very beginning, that actually makes more sense than waiting for everybody to leave and saying it. Go to, on YouTube, Buddy Systems Comedy. All the episodes that we've uploaded are on there, and it's all good stuff, I feel like. And you can also listen to his podcast. If you want to watch any of my stuff, just Zero Remsen, You could find all my stuff on YouTube too. So
your homie's coming at me.
You're a person who doesn't like outside influences, also known as stubbornness. It's not coming at you. You know that thing you said where, like, early on, if you've watched all the episodes, this also talks about, this is also kind of, as much as it's A to Z, it's also, like, understanding Aaron, the podcast, because, like, if you watched every episode, you would understand why Aaron would take something like that and be like, you're coming at me. Yeah, buddy system comedy, that's exactly right. Actually, I think it's just system, not systems. But if you watched all the episodes, you would understand that Aaron has had a very specific background life story. And in his life story, there is this pattern of Aaron trying to be him and everybody telling him not to be him and everybody forcing whatever they want, whether it be from a good place or a bad place. They're trying to force him to be a thing or, like, conform. Again, like the metaphor with the food eating thing. He says he's a vegetarian. They're like, no, you're not. And then they try to make him be something. Then he tries. He gives it an attempt. And it just solidifies more that he's not that, which causes this resentment, which makes him go, I just don't want to deal with people because they keep trying to make me be a thing. So when he hears the statement that you said, there's a certain level of, like, he understands, like, you're kind of joking, but it's, like, clearly coming from a kind of real place. And so it's, like, he doesn't know how to, like, or interact with that more than, like, I don't know what you want from me. Because, like, it's, like, it's so convoluted and very specific.
I think I could, it's that, what is your name again?
Shelby. Oops, my bad. Buddy System Comedy for all A to Z podcasts. Thanks for the shout out. That's a way more concise way than when I try to explain where it is. Let's psychoanalyze and bully Aaron. Yeah, that's a lot of what it is. I do the psychoanalyzing and then the comments bully him.
There you Aaron's go.
Bam. See, there's a positive. Somebody thinks you're bam.
Thank you. For Shelby, is there one thing in your... Okay, I'll give you an example that has nothing to do with stubbornness. My name's Aaron, and Key and Peele have ruined my name. I can't go to Starbucks. I can't introduce myself to somebody without hearing, Aaron, oh, Aaron, Aaron. And it's like, yes, the first dozen times I heard that. When it first came out, yes, it was hilarious. But was that?
I done started some S word. She's also joking.
Oh, that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, just explain.
But, like, explaining that, like, imagine your entire life, there are things, literally every facet about you is picked apart and pushed at and told that it has to be a particular way. So the way I eat, my skin color, my hair, the way I speak, the school that I go to, the career path that I'm trying to take, the relationships, like, literally every aspect of my life has been people trying to, like, glob onto it, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. The interesting thing about this at this point is, again, this is the getting to know you questions. We're on question 2 of 100. And that started from, where do you want to live if you could live anywhere? And you said, I don't know. And then we went on a rant about the South and eating. So that's where we're at. Number 3, it could be spelled Erin, E-R-I-N, like my middle name, because my mom is, we can't use that word anymore. We're fine. It's whatever. I'm named after a car, Shelby Ford. That's why I have an alias, T. Sandre.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay. Question 3. This that will also probably lean dark. What is your biggest fear? Oh, I should probably answer the second one too. If I could live anywhere, honestly, as I get older, I start to feel that draw back home. Like, wherever you go, that's where your heart is. I do wish it wasn't, like, freezing cold in Missouri during the winters. But in general, I love that my family is there. I love the amount of space that you get when you want it, and that there is a lot of land area. Not that I don't enjoy I like California for how much people are in it, but it's just, it is so blazing hot. I go back and forth. Sometimes I'm like here forever. Sometimes I'd like to go back there. So as of right now, if I could live anywhere, it'd probably be a part of Missouri that's both close to my family, but also, like, I don't have to be too much a part of it. So, biggest fear. Go ahead.
There's
or
the
Kawhi, or Kawhi, because I have heard really good things about Kawhi. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to split this up into, like, primal life fears and then existential fears.
And things here's the difference between me and you. I'm going to split mine up between logical actual and fantasy actual. Like, I genuinely fear this thing, even though it makes no sense.
That, before we even get into them, okay. What is the, did you, that's, it's weird. This is what we, this is why the yin and yang thing works, because that's the same but different.
Yeah, yeah, it's very meta. There's, again, there's something about the thing that we are that's so innate, like the core DNA that's just kind of off a little bit, but that offness is what brings us together. And it's so...
Mine was primal and existential. What were yours?
Mine was actual and fantasy.
Why is that? Why did that happen?
Well, why did ours break down that way?
Well, yeah, because we had the same general foundation of the thought process, but they're little tweaks.
I think it's self-awareness is my first question, is my first thought, because the reason I have to is because I recognize one of them's ridiculous. One of them's like really ridiculous, but it is something that's true to me. And then the other one is actual in that it could happen. It's a very real thing, and I do worry about it. Where like yours feels like another version of self-awareness, where it's an introspective version where you're looking at yourself and you're understanding that fear. But then there's like much like my actual, where it's like genuinely the world will do this to me. So it's like understanding the difference between the you of it and the world of it. I think that's it. It's like the self and the world. And I think those are the two fears.
Like, yeah.
Self fears for me is my fantasy. Yours is the introspection. World fears is whatever you were going to say is like the physical. And mine's is the actual. Even though mine's is when I get into my actual is like emotionally.
Interesting.
Somebody's already excited about kill that effing fly.
What's up?
So Jonathan said, kill that effing fly.
It's. I'm just trying to keep it at bay right now. And the scary shit is, yeah, Alzheimer's is pretty terrifying, but.
Yeah, that's interesting. That, like, yeah. I was about to say, like, is it more scary being the person seeing your person go through that? Like seeing somebody with Alzheimer's or having Alzheimer's, but then I remember certain cases of Alzheimer's are like really like you wake up next to somebody who you like are like so, like the love of your life, and you're like, who are you? And like being thrown, it's like a version of schizophrenia. But
the real things I'm scared of are genuinely civil war.
Genuinely,
yeah. Okay. Civil war in the sense in a modern version of that like I'm scared of one day having to deal with crazy white people at my doorstep.
Yeah, right.
Like I've had to deal with it out in the world in many different aspects, but it's never been at my doorstep, and it's also never been so close to my doorstep.
It feels like it's getting closer to your door.
Yeah. So there's that and shit like spiders, and what?
You fear spiders?
I can't. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. That's where we get into the glimpses of like a world where you hadn't been, abused, where you hadn't been traumatized, where like a spider fear is like what somebody who didn't go through your life story in childhood is what somebody would answer normally. Where you're like, what's your biggest fear? Spiders. I don't like spiders. Yeah. But like yours is like, I fear civil war. I'm worried that like white people will come to my door who hate me because I'm black and just try to end my life. Somebody in the comments said my fear is earring silence. I also used to have a thing with silence. I don't know if I would describe it as fear. I just didn't like it at the time. But I understand what you're saying. My actual. Then,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Do you want me to do? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. There's a delay, but yeah, I'll do my actual. Then you do yours, and then I'll do mine. My actual is the classic. I'm a loneliness type of guy. I'm a, like, the dying alone thing gets me. I don't like thinking about having lived my whole life, not having experienced the joys of sharing that beautiful thing with a person. Like, I've had it before, but to go the rest of my life just having to go the day by day of, like, another day in my bedroom. And don't get me wrong, I really love my life. That's the thing is, like, I go back and forth where, like, it is a fear. I'm never going to say it's not a fear. But I do understand where, like, you don't need a partner to be happy. And I'm a pretty still happy guy, even without a partner. And I see all the detriments that come from dating the wrong person or even from dating the right person, because you're still dealing with a human being. But, like, it does. It genuinely is like, man, what if I, like, never find that? What if I never get that and I just, like, die by myself and I never do? And the things that come from that, right? So it's like the romance is one half. The other half is, like, children and all that stuff. Like, I want to have a family. I want to have that love, and I want to give that love. And so that's my actual fear, is that's very much in the cards. What's your other one? You're cute. You won't be alone in the end. Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate it. I go back and forth where it's like, there are sometimes I'm like the absolute best thing to ever walk this earth, and I'm not worried about it at all. And then there are other times I'm like, nobody has ever claimed me ever, so like, what's going on? And I'm that weird middle place that doesn't get talked about, which we've talked about this in very slight things with the game and all that stuff, where it's like there's this discrepancy where if it's like with being in relationships or getting a relationship, it's either you get it or you don't get it. Like, and it's like everybody should get it. It's that, like, it's that classic advice of like, be yourself, and then it'll just work for you. Don't worry about it, bro. Just be yourself, and somebody will like you for you. And it's like, that's a great premise. But if you're a freaking weirdo, and, like, you're a weirdo, and that's who you are, nobody is going to like you. There's a reason. After a certain amount of time, you got to look at the pattern. You can't just wet on blinders and be like, yeah, nobody has dated me yet, but I'm going to keep doing the same thing. It's like, no, you're doing something. The sweetest girl on earth, the sweetest, most kind, will give a dude a chance girl on earth, still wants a man when she's straight. If she's a straight girl, she wants to date a man. And when you're coming up and you're like, hey, hi, it's just, it gives off an innate emotional vibe that even the sweetest sweetheart is like, he's cool. I tried to be friends with him. They'll be friends with you. They'll think you're really swell. But they're not going to date you, bro. And that's fine. And again, I'm working on mine. And that's a whole another podcast where we could talk about the game and that journey and figuring it all out. But that's generally one of my fears and how I feel about that. Your other one, the more introspective.
Yeah, my like existential fears are two.
That was the word I was looking for. I keep saying introspective, but I meant existential.
The first fear is dying before I achieve what I need to achieve.
You know what? I also kind of rock with that.
Yeah. And then the other one is similar to the Alzheimer's thing, or just the idea that what I'm experiencing around me, those girls want to be choked and slapped and suffocated. I agree.
That's most girls is the thing.
but the other fear is the idea that whatever my perception of reality is, isn't real. That's a terrifying. I don't think I ever told you the first time I. What's up?
I said, yeah, that's interesting. That like the Matrix not real, or like what kind of not real?
The Matrix type of not real, or Alzheimer's type of not real. Mm-hmm. Anything under that realm. Did I tell you about the first time I got high? Mm-mm. Okay, then we should hear.
Ding ding, Jonathan said. I don't know what it's to, but high his smiles lies. That's a dope user. Go ahead.
We should hear yours first before I tell this story, because it's a long one.
Oh, okay. So the first, we're getting ready, guys. There's going to be his first time getting high story. Mm-hmm. Here's my fantasy fear. My fantasy fear, it makes no sense. But, I mean, it's like the Matrix fear. This is genuinely something that I have in my head, and I want to preface so much that I recognize how crazy it is, but it's very genuine to me. My biggest fear in the fantasy world is that I will be flung into the past for some reason, and I will have no, I don't have any skills to survive in any era that doesn't have skyscrapers and streets and cars. Like, I'm afraid I'll be thrown to the medieval times, and I'll have to learn how to survive with, like, whatever was on me at the time that I got flung into the past. And that, like, I'll still have my every time I have this thought, I'm like, I'll have my phone, but it will only have the battery that, like, exists. My biggest fear is that this is all a figment of my imagination, and I'm really in an insane asylum. That's pretty much what Aaron was saying. But, like, that I have a phone, and it has just enough battery, and there's no satellite, so I'm not getting any connection, so I can't do much more than use, like, Notepad and the clock. And, like, for some reason in my head, I'm not smart enough to just get rid of the phone because it's really not doing me any purposes at that point. I mean, maybe the flashlight, but, like, it's going to die, and there's no chargers in the past, so I have just enough time to use it for the 8 hours that I have it. But then in my head, it's so much stuff. In my head, somebody from that era runs into me, and after they get, oh, like, once they're still dealing with the racism, which is going to be a huge problem, they also are going to be like, what's that in your hand? Which? And then they're going to, like, try to end me. And that's one of my fantasy fears, is I'll be flung into the path, and I won't be able to survive. If I don't starve to death, then I'll be killed by old-timey thoughts, old-timey ideas.
It's so funny. It's such a distinction between us. My existential, like, your existential fear was like a made for home movie VHS Disney thing.
It's a cartoon for sure.
Yeah. And mine is this, like, horrifying existential Cthulian.
Yeah. Yours is like coming to the idea that, like, nothing you did was real. Mine's is like, oh no, I don't know how to build a cabin out of wood. How do you fish? I don't know how to fish. Like I couldn't, like, there's no world where I learned those skills.
Yeah.
Like.
So the reason for the existential fears.
Okay, first time. So, God.
Yes. Well, to preface this, growing up, I always had this feeling of, like, something is wrong or off or not okay. I think gotten older, I'm starting to realize that that came down to my family and the neighborhood that I grew up in that wasn't okay.
Okay.
But at the time, I felt crazy because I was like telling people, like, thing, like, racism stuff and my mom stuff and family stuff and what my goals are. And everyone's reaction was acting as though I was crazy for even mentioning it. So
I know this is really weird, but have you seen the Netflix movie Horse Girl?
No.
It's essentially that, but Alison Brie. It's any classic story where, like, somebody's going crazy, but are they going crazy or are they crazy? Like, and it's one of those journeys, but it is a fun ride. It is interesting to see.
Jonathan, I have taken them and it helped me a lot, actually, but we could talk about that later. So, so this was already a thing in my head, and I think that's why it got turned up after this moment. So I was very similar to you, Zero, way back in the day. No alcohol, no nothing, nothing at all.
Again, and, similar until things happened.
And so, I mean, my freshman year of college, a good portion of the year is done. And I hadn't drank, I hadn't smoked. And my roommates were living their freshman year of college. They were doing whatever they wanted. And so one day they come home to the dorm and they were like, hey, man, we got spice. Don't worry, it's legal. And I was like,
it's legal.
They kept saying that it's not illegal over and over again. And do you know what spice is?
I got nothing. Psychedelics are the best, said somebody in the comment.
Spice is like a synthetic marijuana. So it's fake marijuana.
Oh, so it's like, okay. Yes. Okay. Got it.
And it's technically meant to be incense, but you can smoke it in it. Yeah. And weird. So
people really don't be doing anything to get high, man. Like the amount of things that I've heard is like, it's not what you're supposed to do with it, but like people do it and get really high. It's like,
they just figure you just
anything to escape, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'll keep the short version. So we go into the dorm bathroom, and they give me this big bong. They make me take two very large rips of it. And I didn't know how to be high. So in short, I could feel that I was feeling weird, but in my head, I didn't realize that, like, in my head, I thought, oh, if I decide that I'm done with this, I'm done.
Okay.
But it's like a roller coaster. You're going to have to wait it out. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
And so I leave, I go across the hall, and synthetic equals bad trips, huffing, AC, refrigerators, like, Jesus. All right.
Two different comments and there.
So yeah, I go back to our dorm where I'm alone, and I look in the mirror, my eyes are red as fuck, and I hear my roommate's voice in my head, and he was like, eyes look as red as the devil's dick, man, and it kept doing that. And I know you've never been inebriated, so just know that time, your perception of time is so thrown off.
Yeah.
And it felt so long, I didn't believe that I smoked. So, like, it had felt so long, and it had maybe 20 minutes, but it felt so long, and I was so disoriented that I couldn't justify what was happening. And, you know, my religious beliefs, so I started to think I was in hell or purgatory.
Oh, okay.
Getting dark. And so I go back over to get help, because I'm like, this is not okay. So yeah. I go back over to get help, but they also smoked. So they're out of their minds.
Yeah, they're not who you should go to in these times.
No, they had this EDM music blasting, and they had strobe lights going off, and they're giggling. So imagine you think...
And you're like, man, heck is weird.
Yeah, imagine you think you're dead. You think you're in hell, and you think that this is a trick, and that this is just you warming up to meeting Satan. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I go back over to the room, and I'm like freaked out. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, trying to justify what's happening. And have you ever heard of Cutco?
That sounds familiar.
It's a knife selling company. It's a pyramid scheme.
Oh, no, never mind. Oh, wait, yes. Yes, I have. I think they tried to get me when I was in high school.
Yeah, they tried to get everybody. So my roommate, Jeremiah, worked for Cutco, and they gave him these really nice set of cutlery, like fancy butcher knives, kitchen knives. And so I look over to the kitchen, and I see the knives, and I start to think to myself, if I stab myself, I'll wake up.
Oh,
yeah.
That's not a good place to be.
No, it was not. And so I go over to the knives, I pick up the biggest one that I can find. Pick up the biggest one I can find, and I'm about to, like, jam it into my chest. And nobody was in the room. I would have died.
Yeah, you would have been dead for sure.
Yeah.
With a Cutco knife? Those knives cut so good. How good do they cut? Well, you see here, Aaron, what we have here is a great set of knives. Good.
He just drags my body into the house that he's all himself.
Just a giant Cutco
knife. Okay.
Sorry.
So, luckily, and this was like I cut so many fucking pennies into spirals with those scissors. Huh. Those scissors were...
Why would you waste money? That's how broke I am. I'm just mad at you for cutting pennies. Go ahead.
So this is where, like, I still get confused in the world.
Okay.
I got lucky because I had enough logic in my head to think this through. And throughout my whole life, it's always felt like I'm thinking of this logically. Like, I'm thinking of this very logically, and I don't know what's going on with everyone else around me. But in that situation, I thought to myself, if I am in hell or if I'm in purgatory or whatever this is, I have an eternity to figure it out. So I'm going to wait on this option. And I got really lucky that level of logic was there. And so I tried to logic myself. I tried to be like, okay, my roommates were acting weird. We must have smoked. He had to have smoked. And that means this will go away. So if I go back over there, they're still acting weird. That means we smoked. That means this will go away. And I'll just have to ride it out.
Okay.
What I didn't realize was when I left, my roommates are not bad people. They weren't trying to hurt me.
Right.
They were like, oh, he's freaking out. We need to act normal.
Okay. The opposite of what you needed at the time.
Yep. So I go back over to the room, and my roommate, Corey, passes me. I'll never forget this. Super calm. The exact opposite of what he was acting like when I was last over there. God damn it. Hold on. Super calm. He walks by me. He's like, hey, what's up, Chase? And, like, I snapped, apparently. I don't remember. I blacked out. Apparently, it looked like I was going to kill him. And they had to calm me down. Yeah. They had to calm me down and, you know, chilled me out or whatever. I had to go to math class the next morning, still high. And I had
an impact. You got math.
Yeah.
I always and I got in high school. Go ahead.
I had this, like, level of PTSD about it because – it was this break in, like, my perception of reality. And it was a really aggressive experience of it where things would, like, if I was in small spaces, I would get anxiety. I watched Inception, like, a year later and almost had a panic attack in the theater. I almost cried in the theater.
Oh.
It's fine. I'm fine now. But just, like, fucking with your perception of reality is such a scary thing because it leaves you in this place where you're never safe. There's never this full sense of, like,
not to dork out about it, but it's kind of like that scene in Spider-Man, the most recent one. Spoiler alert, Far From Home. In Far From Home, Mysterio has this scene where he's, like, using all his effects and all his stuff to keep showing Spider-Man, like, in different situations. And from his perspective, with a combination of the robots and the projections, it all looks and feels real. So he throws them through back-to-back, like, horrible stuff happening to him. And even at one point, he makes it seem really normal and everything's going fine and it's all good. And then he snaps him back into it and he, like, starts just messing with him mentally. And then at the end of it, he drops him in the middle of a forest and then leaves. I'm not a forest, but a field, and then leaves. And then when his friend comes to get him, like, he's so freaked out. He, like, has no idea what's real and what's not real anymore because he got so mentally messed with that it's like, I don't know what's real. And he just breaks down. And that's essentially what Aaron's describing. It's like when you mess with somebody's mental like that, and, like, it's like, yeah, you're never safe because you don't know what's real and what's not. Take five.
I remember when I took acid during school. I was in high school. Yeah, I was not about that life.
Take 5 grams of mushrooms at once and really reveals itself to you. The mushrooms reveal themselves to you, or the truth?
A lot. But
are you on it right now? Go sit down. Drink some water. We'll talk to you later.
Anyway, so, yeah.
I have a thing. Minutes, by the way.
Okay. I just have a thing about reality. Like, I think that's why I get frustrated when I tell somebody, like, this is a thing I am or this is a thing I do. Just leave me alone. Just let me be the thing. Like, if I'm mad at my mom, just let me be mad at my mom for a second. Please.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get you. All right, so we got, we're just going to go ahead and call that. We got 3 questions into a getting to know you, and boy, did we learn a lot. We've been on a real journey, boys and girls. Thank you for joining us again on an episode of A to Z. Thanks for those of you that stuck around to listen to this whole thing. Again, you can catch us on YouTube under Buddy System Comedy. All the A to Z podcasts are on there. You can watch them all the way through. For finding us individually, you can find Aaron at AaronChase91 on Instagram. You can also listen to the ACMM podcast, which is a podcast he does by himself on the Buddy System comedy YouTube page and also Podbean, I believe. You can find all my stuff on YouTube as well if you search Zero Remsen. I'm the only one with my name. I just released a music video like a little bit ago. So, you know, go check those things out. Hopefully I'm not forgetting anything. Oh, my Instagram handle, @0_KRAnime. You could follow me there. Watch all of this stuff. In the meantime, in the green time, thanks for hanging with us. This has been fun. Appreciate you. See you guys next week, hopefully, if my job doesn't mess me up real bad. All right. Salut.